Earlier this morning, we heard quite an optimistic prediction for New Zealand regarding the effects of the new coronavirus COVID-19 from Sara Del Valle at the Los Alamos National Laboratory in the United States. We've heard over the past few weeks from many people, including Kiwis, whose lives and travel have been affected, though. It is slightly different with our next guest. He's a Kiwi who's lived in China for 20 years and has been honoured for his work. Lou Dagger, from Hastings originally, as a horticulturalist, and his main mission in China has been helping attract people back to the countryside and away from those enormous cities. Lou's in a small city by Chinese standards. The population's about a million or so. Jinghong in Yunnan province, close to the border with Myanmar. It's known for its huge butterfly farms and a notable institute of crop and research, and also a primates centre. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Jim. How are you today?
I'm very well. Now, can we set the scene first? Where you're in a actually pretty big city, or near it, in your work. Can you tell us exactly where you are in China?
Well, I'm based down in a province called Yunnan, which is in the southwest of China. It borders Myanmar, Laos, and Vietnam. It's a province of about 45 million people, and the prefecture I live in is called Shishapanar, which is right down in the south, and it's on the border of Myanmar and Laos. The city that I live in is called Jinghong, which has got a population of about a million people. This is a tropical area, so normally you would get large numbers of people coming from the frozen north down here for holidays and breaks and, in some cases, retirement.
The city that you've just described, Jinghong, you've sent us photos of deserted streets, and this is what we want to ask you about, of course, but before I do, what do you do there?
I've been in Yunnan for a number of years. At the present time, I'm the manager of a large international agricultural enterprise. So that gives me the opportunity to travel and move quite extensively out into the rural areas as well.
Yes, and how much of what you do day to day now, Lou, has been curtailed? Can you tell us how the COVID-19 coronavirus has changed your life?
Well, I think the first thing is that it's made it particularly difficult to actually travel outside of Jinghong. To move out of your area into a new area becomes particularly difficult. Apart from the quietness and the lack of traffic and the lack of people, which you've mentioned, which I see as a positive, because it's a bit of a pedestrian's paradise here at the moment. Everything is shut, apart from the supermarkets, but all restaurants, all shops, apart from the odd convenience store, are all shut. There's no problem moving around the city. You get your temperature taken endlessly between my apartment and my local supermarket, which is probably 500 metres. I would get my temperature taken probably six times.
Gee.
No public transport, no taxis, no buses. Pretty quiet place.
I know you've got the coronavirus where you are. There have been cases where you are. They're not just further north. No. But do you get the impression that the situation where you are is worsening or not, or can't you tell?
No, I think what in Shishapanar, the number of cases has been total number of 15, so it's pretty low. And I think right across Yunnan, it's about 100, and last night it was about 170 cases. So the numbers are low, but I think that's partly because of the restrictions that have been put on in terms of travel. But people here, Jim, are, you get the feeling just talking to people, seeing the way that people react. People are still very fearful about this situation. They are genuinely worried. But, you know, one of the noticeable things that you see, even in the city here, is that neighbourhoods, and when you get out in the country a little bit, villages have basically blockaded themselves. So you cannot, for example, there's streets here in this city that you cannot walk up to because the residential community has actually barricaded the streets, and out in the countryside, the villages have stopped people going in, but also are stopping people going out.
It's a bit reminiscent of some of the truly terrible plagues in history with, you know, small places just basically walling themselves in and outsiders out. It has that flavour, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. To get sick in China is not a good position to be in. It'll knock your family's finances around a lot. Everybody here wears masks. You know, every time you go into a building, you get your hands sprayed and cleaned, and there's a high level of awareness of the potential risks.
I know you're a long way from Wuhan, but with anxiety comes anger. Where do you think the anger's being directed? Do you see it in your community, or what do you see?
No, I don't know. The problem is, Jim, I don't see a lot of people. That's a problem. You know, it's quite interesting. It's only in the last 3 or 4 days that you actually started to see a few people out on the streets. You know, nothing, as I said, nothing is open. So in the parks and along the river, you're starting to see a few people walk. But normally during January and February, there's probably somewhere around about 2 million visitors come here. Well, on Saturday, I went and walked into one of the big tourist precincts on the river, and I counted 5 people. The economic impact on the people in this country just must be colossal.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not an economist, but you don't have to be one to kind of make guesses. And I suppose the question is, how much longer? There've been signs of life, you know, when you've been out, but how much longer can this go on?
I don't know, because I think, you know, if you look at the data, obviously the number of cases here in China are dropping on a day-by-day basis. How do you actually ease up the restrictions to allow people to start moving? There's still a huge number of people who went home for Chinese New Year are yet to come back. So for example, I understand that the figure in Beijing is something like 6 million people are yet to return to the city.
Wow.
And if they do, now they go into a 14-day quarantine period. Shanghai is somewhere like 8 million. And even in this city, when I walk around the streets, something I notice is the numbers of parked cars which are covered in dust, which is an indication that those people have not returned to the city yet. So what happens when we start getting a greater movement of people around the country? Although you might see the government ease off, it's going to be interesting to see how local communities react to that situation.
Yeah, no, it will be fascinating. It's a fascinating situation if you can subtract the danger from the virus. Do you feel fearful yourself? Are you worried about catching it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Why not?
Not at all. You're just not having contact with people, Jim, so I'm not. That side of it doesn't worry me.
But if there were more cases around you and you were more in the thick of it, you might be. I mean, it's not something...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of course, it may proliferate more down there, so this could be your situation for quite some time.
Well, I think that probably there is some indication that the businesses will open in about a week's time. And my business activities here, we are planning on that basis that this thing could go on for some time yet.
But a lot of people haven't caught COVID-19, obviously, where you are, Lou. And that's right. The interesting aspect, because if things are forced to return to normalcy, you know, within a week or two, then all of a sudden the virus might rip through the population, and then you've got another problem, haven't you?
Well, that's my point, is that, you know, and I think the I think that again, if you look at how things operate here, obviously there are the national government policies, but a lot of the decision making is made at the very local level. How are these communities and these cities going to react when people start moving and coming in? And I don't know, Jim, how long that's going to be. It could be a month, it could be 6 months. Just no one really knows.
I know. No, it is interestingly poised, isn't it? And this has been, what, the quietest part of your life to date, I imagine?
It's interesting times, that's for sure. It's interesting to see how a country of 1.5 billion people react in this sort of situation.
There's still goodwill, you know, between people, because that wasn't the characteristic of the great plagues through history that I referred to earlier. And, of course, that's history and it's not as relevant today. But there was paranoia and all sorts of fear and all sorts of aggression in those situations. You would be worried that there might be less civility if, in fact, the numbers did grow around you?
No, not really, because I just don't think that that's in my own view, in the nature of the Chinese population, and especially down here, this area down here, I wouldn't have any concerns on that basis. You know, I'm finding in a number of my business activities the way that the people and the way that the staff have come together has been really quite amazing.
So you don't feel trapped at all, just finally? You know, you don't feel frustrated?
Oh, I have an escape route.
Do you?
Yes. Well, I have to, because, you know, one thing I don't want to end up doing is end up being quarantined.
No.
I just don't want to do that. I'd find being shut up in a hotel room for 14 days pretty difficult. If I left, I'd be coming back to New Zealand, and I'd have some have to do certain things when I went there, but... No, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable to sit it out, Jim.
Lou, there's no primary health care in China, is there? I don't think we fully appreciate what the nature of the health system and its reaction in times like this is.
The health systems here are well developed. You know, you can go in, if you go into a hospital here, they're genuinely very, very well equipped, and the quality of the doctors and that are very good, particularly in the big cities. The big difference between New Zealand and China is that if you're not feeling too good in New Zealand, you go to your GP, who then obviously sends you to a specialist or an emergency to a hospital. But here in China, your first port of call is the hospital. Chinese people are very sensitive about their health, and they're very quick to go to the hospital. So if you have a health situation like this, where people are far, far more sensitive about the sniffle or the sneeze or the cough, it puts incredible pressure on the hospital system.
So if you turn up at work, as we often do in New Zealand, you know, coughing and sneezing, and everybody says, oh, you should be at home, there's a different reaction to that in China, even on a normal basis.
Yeah. No, they won't send you home. They'll say, oh, come on, I'll take you to the hospital.
Right.
If I ring in to my colleagues here from home and said, I'm not feeling too good today, they can't believe that I will just stay at home and have a day's rest and just look after myself. They'll ring me five times a day saying, come on, you better get you down to the hospital, Lou. Come on, get down there, you know. And I just say, no, give me 24 hours and I'm right.
You've got a big hospital not so far away. So how many outpatients a day would go through there?
Well, this was when I was living in Kunming. There was one, a big hospital located just behind my apartment complex, and I understood that on an average day they would get 40,000 outpatients arriving at that hospital every day.
Gee, we don't comprehend that kind of health system, do we? We're just not used to it.
No.
So you can see why it's all got overloaded and very fraught.
Oh, absolutely. The other thing is that there is in the hospitals here, there's no nursing care as we know it in New Zealand. So you'll have your operation, or if you're sick, and sure, a nurse will come along and give you your medication. But it's the family's responsibility to feed you and look after you and change your bedding and so forth. So there's none of that level of nursing care. So obviously there was a hell of a lot more people wandering around in the hospital than we would expect to see in New Zealand.
Yeah, which wouldn't have helped up in Wuhan and those northern prefectures, would it?
And when you look at those pictures of Wuhan, you know, that's just to be expected. It's just bang. There would be thousands of people turning up for those hospitals. That's the norm. That's why it works here.
Good to talk with you, Lou, and thank you very much. And I get the feeling we may be crossing to you again to see what the situation is in a week or two.
No problem, Jim. I look forward to it.
That's Lou Dagger, from Hastings in the south of China. And an interesting situation, fascinating, isn't it? His life in the coronavirus area, or one of the coronavirus areas.